Today on Family Talk.
How often do we hear about the less fortunate in the world and have our hearts tugged to help them, but then procrastination keeps us from actually taking the first step? Well, get ready to be motivated to serve now and procrastinate later. Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Our guest today has invested the past 50 years of his life in global ministry, but 4 years ago, he was compelled to launch a new outreach dedicated to providing humanitarian assistance wherever needed. Lars Dunberg has previously served as the president of the International Bible Society, as well as the British Youth for Christ chapter and Living Bibles International. In 2013, he launched a new ministry called Serve Now, and in just 4 short years, Serve Now has been able to help nearly 1 million people who are in dire need worldwide. Let's join in the conversation as Dr. Dobson welcomes his in-studio guests, Lars Dunberg, the founder of Serve Now, and Ben Foley, the president of Serve Now, right here on Family Talk.
I want you to know how I met Lars. It was 10 years ago when he came to talk to us about the utter depressing poverty of the people of India and what they go through. And, their religious views hold them back and don't really allow them to even accept help in many cases. And he came here to tell us about this poverty that takes place in other countries around the world. Four in particular I'll tell you about. But India's the primary one, where people have absolutely nothing of this world's goods. It is just breathtaking to see. I mean, they have nothing. They live in tiny little hovels. I don't know. I think, are they cardboard? What do they live in?
In cardboard, in any kind of metal they've just thrown together, sheetrock, all this kind of stuff.
And they have a lot of children.
Lots of children.
And they don't have any money to take care of them.
No. The more children, the richer they feel they are.
I remember the day that you were here and you talked about children in northern India who live in very frigid sections of the world in that part of the country. And the children run around with almost no clothes on because they don't own any. And they are freezing cold. And you talked about buying little blankets for them because they don't even have blankets.
That's right.
And there's no way to heat those tiny little houses, if you call them a house. And a blanket can be purchased for those kids for $10. It's just touching. And, Jesus made it pretty clear how he feels about suffering children and what we're to do with the least of these, my brothers. That's about the closest to the least of these that I can think of.
Absolutely.
Does it still touch you, Lars, to see this take place?
Every time. It is the most moving thing you can do when you put some gloves on a kid or a hat or wrap that blanket around them afterwards. You know what a difference it makes for them. And you say, it takes so little to do so much. It's unbelievable. Yeah,
you keep them alive, literally.
Yes, literally.
Are those children open at all to stories of Jesus?
The children are the most open people to the gospel. We've been trying to use different materials. We have a little book we call The Story of Jesus, which is like a cartoon book telling the whole gospel. It's actually starting with creation, because if you don't put Jesus into a context, they think it's just one of 300 million other gods.
So you, is that the number of gods?
Yeah, you tell the story.
That's Hindu, right?
Yeah, you tell the story of creation and say, this is the unique God, the only one that created heaven and earth. And Jesus is his son. And they are part of the same Godhead. And then they read this whole book and it makes sense to them.
Mm. Ben, you said you have been on 13 trips of your own.
I have, actually. India was the first country that I ever went to on a missions trip. And it was quite shocking because everything about India is completely different than our life and our culture here. So it's quite a shock. And there's really nothing that you can compare it to or relate it. I mean, it kind of comes back to what Lars says. When people come and experience it for themselves and they see the people, they meet the people, they see the conditions that they live in, it really has a profound effect. It's really the reason that I'm in missions, world missions today.
And the best thing that can happen to what you're trying to accomplish is to bring Westerners into that setting and let them experience it for themselves.
That's right. I mean, there's only so much that you can talk to people about, that you can communicate. Even videos, which are helpful, you don't get the taste, you don't get the smell, you don't, you just experience it in a totally different way when you're there. And it's the best possible way to really allow God to grow a compassion and a passion in your heart for the people that live so differently than we do.
Ben, what did it do to you to be there and to look a little child in the eye who's shivering, slept through the night, if he slept at all, and woke at all with the rigors of a northern Indian winter, and you see him cry? What does that do to you?
It just absolutely breaks your heart. For as difficult the circumstances, for as painful as some of the situations that these children are in, there's a piece of your heart that's left there, that remains there, that is there, and you want to do everything that you can to help them.
And you don't speak the language either.
No.
How do you say to a starving child who's freezing, I care about you?
You know, it's absolutely amazing just what a hug, what a smile, looking the child directly in the eyes, getting down on their level, what that can communicate and what that can convey. But outside of that, we have in every country that we're in, including India, national, local staff members that are able to speak the language, and so we can talk through them.
Do the pastors have seminaries to go to?
No. That's a very different aspect about pastors in India from here. A lot of these pastors that we work with actually come from a Hindu, Buddhist, animist background, Muslim even, and somebody somewhere along the line shared the gospel with them. They got saved, and they got so excited about their newfound faith in Jesus that they started sharing with everybody in their villages, their community, their family, other communities. And before they knew it, they had 10, 20, 30 people that were coming to them and saying, tell us more about this Jesus. And the pastor may be the only one with a Bible himself, and he's received little to no training at all.
You provide Bibles for him.
So we come alongside pastors just like that to equip them, not only giving the Word of God to every member of the congregation that can read and desires one, but also providing some training for the pastor. And then we created a series of booklets called The Basic Things You Need to Know, which is a series of just 30 books that are only 32 pages each, in whatever language we're working in, that we provide for these churches over a period of 5 to 7 years. So every couple of months, they get the next book in the series. And I mean, these are just basic foundational truths of the Christian faith, things that we might often take for granted here. I mean, we've kind of even moved away from calling these booklets discipleship resources because it's almost pre-discipleship and just laying a basic foundation, who Jesus is, what salvation really means. I mean, we even have pastors that have been in the ministry 20 years who read, for example, the book on salvation and said, this is the first time I've really understood what salvation really means. And now I'm able to communicate that and convey that to members of my congregation.
How do you describe Almighty God to somebody that can't read? Mm-hmm. And somebody's never heard it.
That's right. Actually, Lars wrote the basic series book on God. And I remember him saying that that was the most difficult book in that series to write.
Because how
do you fit God on 32 pages in a way that is relatable, understandable, that they can grasp? But the beauty about the basic series books is really how simple they are without being simplistic, that anybody at any level can grasp, does grasp. In fact, we have stories literally every week of not only lives being transformed, but people understanding the basic truths of the faith for the first time, but entire churches. But part of the beauty, I think, of ServeNow is that, you know, we really have a heart for training and equipping pastors. So they're the ones that already know the language, know the culture, and they know how to best communicate with the people once they're trained and equipped to be able to do that. So that's why we try to do as many pastor training sessions as possible.
Do you do that?
Bring
the pastors together.
Yeah. In fact, anytime Lars or I are there, the different states and regions that we visit, we bring together pastors from those places, and we have a pastor's conference, seminar, training session where we work through the basic series books before we hand them out to them so that then they're able to share them and
now,
teach them.
Now, Lars, when you came and I talked to you about this subject before, you were not with ServeNow.
That's right.
You were with another organization,
yes.
Which was?
Global Action.
And you left there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought you were going to retire.
I retired.
You did.
But it wasn't for me, so I retired instead.
And you and your daughter started
ServeNow.
ServeNow.
Yeah, that's correct.
You could have done a lot of things here in the United States.
Yes.
And you could have served the Lord in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. And there you are traipsing around the world to see people and learn a culture that's not your own and a language you don't share, you don't know. And to do what you could to help people who can do absolutely nothing for you.
Let me tell you why. I could have played a lot of golf, but I don't. I could have gone on a lot of cruises, and I would love to. I could have spoken in no end of missions conferences and Bible conferences in this country and be treated fairly well. But when you have looked those kids in the eyes, cannot just give that up. I had to go back.
To still get to you.
I had to get back because I knew there were many, many white spots on the mission map where nothing was happening. And if I could do something little to help, it was worth that.
Are you on your way to retire again?
Well, I just finished last week a book that I've carried in my briefcase for over a year. The basic things you need to know to be a Christian. And I finally could sit down and finish it.
Now, somebody translate those for you?
They will be translated into, right now, in 13 languages, later on in 30 languages is our goal.
Name the four countries that you're working in as ServeNow.
Right now, we work in India, Nepal, Ukraine, and Uganda. But the basic series is going outside of that. We have it in Arabic now, for example, and so it goes into the whole Arab world and to the refugee groups in Europe and so forth.
It sounds like it would be a very rewarding work, but it also sounds like you invest a whole lot for what comes back.
Yes, of course you do. But, you know, sometimes what comes back is not what you expect. It was very funny because the timing is really funny. 10 years ago, when we had this radio program, you helped to fund some apartments, some houses for orphan kids in the center we were running, where we ran a school. Today, I received a message on my phone through Messenger of a guy who I did not recognize, and he said, "I was in the school. 2007, 10 years ago. And I can never forget the love you gave to me. Now I'm in Christian work."
Yeah.
You say, yeah, it was worth every pain of it.
Sometimes, Lars, when you get off the boat and you're heading into that dark place, it is dark. India is in many ways a dark country. They call Africa the dark continent, but that's not the only place.
No.
And when you're walking in there again, I don't know how many times you've been there.
125.
Do you feel the Lord smiling at you?
Yes, I must say so. And that's why I would like to see so many more people experience the joy of that reward. Because it doesn't take much to do something for someone. Yeah.
You know, we've talked today about poverty and about freezing cold and not having, well, I didn't mention this, but not having mosquito nets during the monsoon and things of that. Basic stuff. But the one that touches my heart is where there's sexual slavery in those trips that are taken where they just abuse children. The world shouldn't be that way.
That's right.
I mean, when Satan really wants to get nasty, that's what he does. Do that to an 8-year-old, mm-hmm. you know, day after day after day.
You know, there is a child at, we have an HIV home for children, 14 kids right now. And I remember, I'll never forget, we were there for one of the girls' 8th birthday party. And I asked her, I said, what's your favorite part about this home? And she looked at me. She first of all got a big smile. And she said, the food. Because when they come in, they're coming in stick thin, starving. They've never had the kind of food that we're able to provide them. But then her face dropped and changed. And she said, and nobody beats me here.
Oh.
This was an 8-year-old girl. And that's just a very common.
What kind of home was that?
We have a home that ServeNow operates. We call it a lighthouse center where these
kids.
And
there's a lot of HIV?
Yep. We're taking care of 14 right now, but would love to expand that because there's just thousands of kids that roam the streets that are kept in cages. There's another girl that just shared her story with us that her parents kept her silverware, her plates on the opposite side of the room, and she was forced to sleep in a corner where it was cold with nobody else. So she was so happy to come to this home where it was the exact opposite, where she was getting hugs and care and people that actually loved her. But the interesting thing is that when family, relatives or others see the improvement and the changes and the way that these kids are able to succeed in school, education, and just, you know, socially as they develop at
they're
our home.
Smart kids.
They're very, very smart. And it actually ends up changing the relatives' perception and mindset and attitude towards the children. And we've actually just had 4 kids rehabilitated that are now able to go back to their families that are willing to give them the proper care and take care of them, seeing the results that that home has had in their life.
Can you provide general medical care?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We just had a girl that...
You have a hospital?
Not a hospital, but we do medical clinics nearly every week, as well as there was a girl at the HIV home that just had a surgical procedure done for an issue she was having. And we took care of that.
And there are physicians that come over there?
Yeah. In fact, we had a doctor on our board. His term was just up, so he's not on the board any longer, but he still helps us
in India.
Yeah. An Indian doctor.
We should talk also about Compassion International because that's the big organization around the world, and they do such great work. Mm-hmm. And yet they have been denied the opportunity to serve people in India.
Very tragic.
Because of NGOs, non-governmental organizations?
There's been thousands of NGOs that have been shut down by this current Indian administration since Modi came into power back in 2014, I believe. And he has, within his administration, very Hindu extremist people who have a stated goal of removing Christians and Muslims from the country and having India return to its being a Hindu nation. They actually have strategy in place to reconvert, they call it homecoming, to bring those that have left the Hindu faith, to bring them back into the fold. And there are all kinds of persecution, pressure, intimidation, threats, etc.
What's happened to Compassion's money?
Yeah, they're no longer getting any funds into India. So they are, you know, moving on to other countries until or unless things change.
What a tragedy.
It's very tragic.
You got all this need.
It's the kids that are suffering the most.
The leaders of the country are denying them the care they need.
Mm-hmm.
That's satanic, I'm telling you.
It is. So thankfully, we're still able to serve there and want to do everything we can as urgently as we can to keep serving people that are in need, especially children.
We've got to tell people how they can get in touch with you. If there's anybody who would like to take one of these trips to one of those four countries or mm-hmm. others and follow your instruction and see it for themselves and hug a child, how can they do that?
Well, they can contact our website and just choose one of the trips. We do a lot of things for them. We make sure there is a leader in the trip. We make all the reservations, take care of all the arrangements.
They pay for their own trip.
Yes, but everything else is taken care of, and they are meeting nationals on the other end that work with them and so forth. So it's a very organized, caring experience, and their lives will never be the same.
I know some of the people that went with you. In fact, they were in the studio with us.
Yes.
Sherry Hoover and her
yes.
husband. And they were so touched. I mean, mm-hmm. They sat and wept.
Yes.
Seeing those little children.
Yes.
So ecstatic over a $10 blanket. Not a toy.
That's right.
And not mm-hmm. something to play with. Just to stay warm.
To stay alive.
Lars, thank you for what you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you for caring for people.
That's right.
And Ben, you got the same heart, don't you?
So many slums that I've walked through, and it's dirty, it's filthy. You know, you're in your flesh, you don't want to be there. But when you start to get around the believers that are there in these slums who have absolutely nothing, no material possessions, and we come in and we're giving them a blanket or a basic series mm-hmm. book or their first Bible or clean water or whatever the need might be, as they're worshiping, you realize this is the place that Jesus would be. This is where he is.
He would be.
This is where he is. These are the people that he would be with. And there's such a joy. There's such a peace. There's just a sense of his presence. It's almost like this little, you know, microcosm in one sense in the physical, natural of hell on earth. But spiritually, it's like the presence of God and heaven itself is there in a unique way that many cases I haven't even experienced here. So it's very special because you're joining with him where he is, where his heart is, and his heart is for all the world. And if just to mention the website, if you want to visit, is weservenow.org. And then there's a mission trip tab under Get Involved that people can look at the trips that we have there. Or if it's a group, a church of 10 or 12 that would like to go, we can also work out arrangements to take a team of that size.
One more time, the website.
WeServeNow.org.
And you guys could use the help.
Mm-hmm.
And the prayers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. We're just going into our fifth year this year. So, and I've already been able to serve about 1 million people around the world just in those first 4 years.
Really?
So the Lord is working and we're growing rapidly, but we would love to see others get involved in being a part of that.
Thanks for coming and being with us.
Thank you.
Keep me informed,
us.
Will you?
Yes.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Truly a breathtaking and inspiring conversation with Lars Dunberg, the founder of the international humanitarian mission called Serve Now, today here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Also joining in on this discussion, you heard from Ben Foley, president of Serve Now. You can learn more about taking part in one of the upcoming missionary ventures Dr. Dobson just mentioned by visiting their website at weservenow.org. We also have a link for the Serve Now site on our broadcast page as well. That's at drjamesdobson.org. Remember, you can let your voice be heard here at Family Talk by calling our brand new listener feedback line. Let us know how today's program touched your heart. You can also share with us how the Ministry of Family Talk is having a positive impact on your family and your faith. Call toll-free 844-823-2669. That's 844-823-2669. Here at Family Talk, we rely on God through your tax-deductible financial contributions to help us continue in the work He has called us to, equipping families to stand for righteousness in today's culture by modeling healthy marriages and healthy parent-child relationships. You can make your donation securely online when you go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can make your contribution over the phone when you call toll-free, 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.